Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here again today, Lord. We invite your precious Holy Spirit to be here, to just move among us, and that we will glorify the Lord together with you, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So meet each and every need represented here today. We ask that in your name. Amen.
And Dick, can I ask you to come and open us up in Scripture?
That one work? Okay. So, would we stand, please? This is going to be kind of where we're at this morning, too. So, this is out of 18th chapter of Gospel of Luke. And it came about that as he was approaching Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the road, begging. Now hearing the multitude going by, he began to inquire what this might be. And they told him, "It's Jesus, the Nazarene." And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those that led the way were sternly telling him, "Be quiet, be quiet." But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, we're starting out this new year. Let that be our prayer. Return my heart, dear Lord, to what you've called me to.
Amen.
He's faithful. He's faithful. This is a song I just heard last week. And while I was listening to it, the Lord was saying, "This is the word for us." I'm going to sing the first part through. If you know it, go ahead and sing it with me, and then you can join me. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. We're going to sing that again together. Standing on this mountaintop. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we proclaim that you are faithful. You are faithful, Lord. You may be seated, and we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offering time. And Chris, if I could have you come up and pray over the offering.
Lord, you reminded me of our word, receive. And today I ask that you receive from us a little bit of the abundance that you've given us, and that it would bless you, Lord. That what we do today would bless you. We ask this in remembrance of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor-to-be Evelyn, would you please come and pray over the offering?
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, for putting faithfulness in our hearts. And we want to give this blessing back to you where it rightfully belongs. We thank you, Lord, that these tithes and offerings will support the very foundation why we are here, and to support the men and women that answered your call here locally and internationally. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. And Lord, please multiply these tithes and offerings to be distributed to everyone that needs it. We thank you, Lord, and we humble before you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before church service, Pastor Karen received a phone call that her father had passed this morning.
Pastor Karen, we would like to pray for you. Do you feel comfortable coming up, or would you rather stay there and we pray for you? Okay, Paul, will you come up with her? Chris and Margaret, can I have you come up? Dick, I know we all want to come up and just hug her. And if we had room, I mean, it's okay with me, it's okay with her. If everyone wants to make your way up, come on and make your way up. You can come around here. We just all want to surround her if you feel led to do so.
Yeah, I'd like to just briefly say that Pastor Karen was at her father's house last week, or maybe a week and a half ago, and she did get to see him and express her love and be with the family right there. All the brothers and sisters were together with the father, so we're very thankful for that opportunity that she got there and was able to see him while he was still here. And he did say to Karen and her sister Debbie that, yes, he believed Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. So we are thankful for that. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Karen, for allowing us to pray for you. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, Brother Dick is going to come up and bless us with a word from the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, we are beginning a new year, and the things that are past are past. Regain our focus, our direction. Understand that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and bless us this morning. Father, we do come before your throne. Lord, I would ask that your Spirit would open our ears, that we might hear what your Spirit has to say to the churches. Give us hearts of understanding, that, Lord, we might know your will for our lives and for this body. And, Lord, give us courage and boldness to to step out into places and in ways that we've not even entertained in our understanding before. Come, Holy Spirit, walk amongst us this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. As I was reading that passage out of Luke 18, I'm gonna continue some of that. In fact, I'll recap part of that. Jesus was coming into Jericho. Now, he was already focused on going to Jerusalem, but he did not let these opportunities go by. But when his disciples announced to, and we find out this man's name in one of the other Gospels, his name's Bartimaeus, and he's sitting beside the road because he's blind. He can't do anything. He can't work for himself. He can't provide for himself. So he just begs of those who have to give him a portion. And so when Christ's disciples tell him, in answer to his question, who is this that's going by? And they say, it's Jesus, the Nazarene. There's some things here that we can draw from and gain understanding about this passage. But when they said, he's passing me by, he knew, he had heard, sitting out here in the gates of the city, he had heard of these things that Christ had done. He had heard of the miracles that had been done down in Galilee. He knew, this man can't pass me by. That had to have so gripped his heart. Thinking, I'm going to be left behind? No way. Not on my watch. This isn't going to happen. So he cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And even though the disciples were saying, hey, quiet down, don't bother the man, don't bother him, he cried out all the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him out on the road. And when he had come near, Jesus questioned him, what would you have me do for you? And I read that and thought, what? You have to ask? What would you have me do for you? Not in the days of vernacular, but Bartimaeus could have said, duh, you know. But it had pierced his heart. But I love Bartimaeus' response, because it reveals something to our understanding. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. He once could see. He wasn't born this way. He used to have vision, sight. And he remembered what it was like when he could see clearly. We are not told how he lost that sight, but he knew that's what he wanted back. I desire to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, he regained his sight and began following him. and glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. If we're to take this story, this occurrence, and apply it to our own hearts and lives, and we shift it slightly to our spiritual vision, when we were called of the Lord, He ignited our hearts by His Holy Spirit and gave us a vision of what He had called us to. Have we grown dull in our vision? Has it become blurred? That clear message that the Spirit of God had implanted within us. I have called you to be a pastor. I've called you to witness. How did He call us? Was that vision clear at that point in our lives? We're starting out a new year. Perhaps our best point to start with is, Lord, clear up that vision that I once had. Let it be so fervent within my heart that I know without a doubt when Your Spirit says, speak to that man, I have the courage, the boldness to do exactly that. How do we regain our sight? Certainly Bartimaeus was saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David. He recognized His authority structure. He knew the Messiah had to come through the lineage of David. Jesus, Thou Son of David. And then He didn't say anything about, you know, I really have, it was just simply a cry for mercy. Have mercy on me. I've lost my vision of who You are in my heart and my life. And oh Lord, please don't pass me by. Make this correction in my heart, in my life, this day, that I might live out the remainder of my time here, the remainder of this year. We're just getting started. Let it stand for Christ. Let our hearts be so ignited by that vision that He once gave us. Ask of Him, Lord, reignite, please, birth afresh everything that You have put within my heart. I don't want to continue sitting here beside the road, begging of others that have heard clearly of who You are. And they have direction, they have purpose, they are following You. But I'm over here saying, can You give me a little of what the Lord spoke to you? Can You just feed me some of the Word that was fresh to You this morning? He would draw us out from our comfort place. And sometimes we go very comfortable sitting beside the road. Give me a break. Get up. Get on your feet. And say, Lord, I have You in my sight. And I'm not going to turn loose of that. I will follow You. And allow that to just flood over us. You know, there's a passage back in Matthew that speaks to this. And I thought, Matthew didn't have the numbers right because he called it two blind men that said exactly the same thing. And I thought, well, maybe they just had the story a little confused or a little bit. Yeah, added to or something. But it specifically says, as Jesus in the Matthew account, it's not of the same situation. The Matthew account is indeed two men sitting outside the gate. And it specifically says, when Jesus was leaving Jericho, and I began to draw a little bit of perhaps conjecture, maybe some insight, because Bartimaeus was sitting there as Christ entered Jericho and was passing through. And Christ healed him and restored his vision. And he began to put it to some use. Hey, I know two other guys on the other side of town. They're beggars just like me. Both of them can't see a squat either. I got to let them know something. So I kind of figured that that's where Bartimaeus went, out to the far end of town. And you could kind of almost hear in the background the conversation that would have went on. And Bart comes up and he says, hey guys, hey Bart, is that you? What, not good over on the other side of town this morning? No. Hey, I can see you. Hey, get out of here. You can't see anything just like we can't see it. No. You don't understand. Jesus, the Nazarene, yeah, we've heard of him. He's in town. You're kidding. Yeah. He's in town, but when he came by where I was sitting over there on the other side, you know, on 1st and 3rd, you know, Avenue, I called out to him, and I said, have mercy on me, son of David. I desire to regain my sight, and guys, I can see you. How many fingers am I holding up, Bart? 5? 3? Yeah, you can see. How did this happen? When he comes out of here, get in touch with him. Yeah, this is cool. So when Jesus later left Jericho, these guys didn't think up something new to ask. What was it Bart said? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They laid hold of that same word and could say, Jesus, have mercy on us. And so Bartimaeus' vision was restored, but it was multiplied. Now there's two more. When your vision of Christ's calling upon your life is restored, Please, lay hold of it and multiply it. It will grow exponentially. While Christ was in town, it wasn't without other events taking place. And maybe you all remember the story out of Sunday school, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And Zacchaeus also heard the crowd. Well, Zacchaeus could see. I mean, that wasn't a problem for him. But you might say he was a little short-sighted and needed to gain a different perspective on this man from Galilee. What's all this commotion going on anyway? It's Jesus the Nazarene. He's going through Jericho. And he's over there, you know, doing one of these numbers. Excuse me. Hey, I'm going to climb up. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree. I don't know if sycamore has anything specific, but didn't have a chance to look that one up. But sometimes when, yeah, we've got this glimmer of what God has called us to. So it isn't that I'm blind now and I no longer even have this vision of what Christ has called me to. But maybe it's just a little distorted, a little difficult to get a clear focus on. Have you ever thought that maybe what I need to do is change my point of perspective? Dear Lord, let me see the way you see. Not the way I've interpreted this, but make it clear to me. Unobstructed, clear in focus, that I can do your will starting this day. So how do we do this? How do we change our perspective? Sometimes it's necessary to put ourselves, our life, our personal nature on the tree and let it be crucified right with Christ, that we would live out the rest of our days free from the entanglements of all that life has presented to itself. See, Zacchaeus was a rich man. He said, when Jesus came over and says, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down from up there? Yeah, I'm going to come over to your house and have lunch. That gave Bart time to get to the other side of town. So he went and had lunch with this man and restored his vision. He had changed his point of perspective. This isn't just church. This isn't just the Christian religion. I've invited him in to sup with me, to be part of my life, that I may lay hold of everything that he has for me. Second Peter. You guys wouldn't believe this. Back here, yeah, you would. You're as crazy as the rest of us, right? Back here in Luke 18, I noted, just penned it out some time ago, 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these qualities, and I'll get back to those, is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. How do we restore our vision? How do we come back to that foot of the cross? See, that's where Jesus was going. When he left Jericho, it said he set his face as a flint. He was focused upon the cross. For us to regain our vision, these qualities that it speaks of there in verse 9, I'll back it up and catch a hold of it. And this is 2 Peter 1. I think we can start right here in verse 5. Now for this very reason also, apply all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. Don't let go. Don't let go. When Bartimaeus regained his vision, Jesus said, and go your way. Hey, dude, my way is your way. I'm never losing sight of you again. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, don't be stagnant. Let this grow in you. But if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us seek to restore our vision, both individually as well as corporately. God has called us with a purpose. He knows what we are about. But get up off the road. Step right in behind our Savior and say, I'm following you. I'm following you. Ignite my heart by your Holy Spirit. Kindle afresh the gifts of God that you have put within me. Stir them up. Let them become functional and useful in the kingdom, that I might win some that are also sitting beside the road. Multiply what God has given you. And we will see the miracle hand of God moving amongst us. Some of the guys at men's Bible study almost have to apologize because some of this gets repeated. And Jonathan knows all of my stories better than I do, because he'd come over and say, you know, you forgot the part about... Oh, yeah. So... It's how God works, I guess. But I was thinking earlier this week, and I actually went down to Walmart. I could not find what I was looking for. I was looking for some small miniature hula hoops or something of that shape, size, you know. But I didn't want the big ones. I can't use one. I don't wiggle that way. I get stuck. But just small ones. And I wanted to put one in front of each one of you this morning. And I was going to ask her about it. But I didn't. I couldn't find them, so no sense in asking. But if we ask the Lord that we might regain our vision, and if we are willing in that fresh vision of who He is in our lives to ask, dear God, start a revival. Where? You know, it's kind of one of those duh questions. Isn't it obvious? Right here in this community. He goes, where? Well, right here in this church. You go, where? How about right here in this circle? If you are brave enough to start this year by stepping into the circle and call down that consuming fire from heaven with a declaration of your heart that says simply, Lord, consume everything in this circle that is not of you. Let it burn away. Let the dross be skimmed off. But call down His consuming fire to rekindle, reignite your own heart, that you would say and declare, there is revival starting. I know, because I'm right in the middle of it. Once that has lit your heart like it did Bartimaeus, then go invite somebody else to step in the circle with you. Say, come on. This is the revival of God right here in this place. And when you got two of you pretty well glowing in the dark, because it's dark out there, folks, then invite yet some more. And don't be short-sighted over what He will present to us. Get that new perspective from inside the circle. Lord, clear up my vision that I might see the way You see every heart out here. That I'll quit complaining about the guy down the street that never parks his car right. It's always stuck out there in the street. Jonathan just left. I asked him about his this morning because it kind of looked that way, but he was off the road. The world has so many complaints about us. It takes the navigation of the Holy Spirit to sidestep these make-believe issues. I don't watch the program, but we've seen the evidence of this through a man of God. He's got a beard. And they've got a program on TV called Duck Dynasty. And good old Phil got nailed to the cross this last week, or 2 weeks ago. But it was neat. He stood his ground, didn't apologize for where he was, but he let this just kind of begin to roll off. He didn't make a riling accusation to these people, but he allowed the Holy Spirit to stand up for him. So sometimes all we need to do is present the truth. And it's the truth that sets people free. We don't have to go beat them up with it. It can be in casual conversation. It's just like I asked the guy down at the phone mart, "Do you have a cell phone with a rotary dial?" I said, I'm kind of old hat. And he goes, "Yeah, we got an app for that." And I thought, "Really? Really?" Okay. Jesus has an app for touching every heart out there. Let us make our connection. And we'll put this on a conference call with this person that God would have us to serve. Because Christ has an app for that. He will make it where they hear exactly what the Spirit would speak as it flows through us, and it is ignited then by the Holy Spirit. I know Karen's going to announce our fast coming up. But there's something, and I'm just going to toss this up in the air and we can all swat at it however you want. Normally, fasting is leaving out something that you enjoy. Chocolate. Coffee. You leave things out. But with regaining my sight, I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I want to add back into my life that precious time of study." You see, before Lynn died for 30 years, she knew that in the middle of the night, "Oh, he's out reading." And I would, when we moved here finally, I'd come out and I'd sit right over here in the corner and open the Word. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I never, ever set an alarm for it. I didn't have to. Holy Spirit would just give me a push. It's time. I've grown at least dull in my vision. I need to change my point of perspective. Lord, let me regain that sight of who You are in the night watches. As You open up the Word to my understanding, as you wash it over my soul, what a delight it was. And it will be again. So not necessarily instead of fasting and eliminating something, I've already committed back to the Lord that sweet hour of prayer, that time of connecting with Him in His Word and allowing His Spirit to just wash over my entire soul. What a cleansing. What an igniting of that fervency of fire within me. That's what I desire. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy.
Pastor Karen, at this time, do you want to come and talk about the fasting?
Remember how I had given you 4 weeks to pray about the Lord to guide and direct you on what to fast? And some people have done like Daniel fast. Well, for a vegan, that's like not a sacrifice. I mean, that's their diet. So I thought, okay, I just felt that the Lord, each one, remember I asked you to just seek the Lord. What does He want you to fast or give up for a time? It may not be food. It may be something. But it would be a sacrificial fasting. Also, a time of, I asked for added prayer. I heard someone just mention to me earlier that they felt that they were going to increase their time also in the Word. And that's what I'm hoping and praying, that each of us will spend more time in the Word, in prayer. Because that'll be sacrificial to add that to your schedules. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. But I also want there to be a fasting of something. It will not be easy, but it will be you leaning on the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to help you for these 24 days. And remember, 8 meaning new beginnings, 3 meaning divine, complete, perfect. And so therefore, we're going to add, multiply that together. And that also meant 24 for worship and the government. So we're wanting to bring thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is Lord over all, and we want to be under Him, but we want to take that authority that He's given us, the power of His name, for us to continue to go forth in this year and beyond for His purposes and for His glory. So I really, tomorrow that starts, of our 24 days through Wednesday the 29th. And then through Wednesday the 29th. So the next day, the 30th, you know, yeah. But what I would like us to do is on February 2nd, we are going to have a potluck and after church. And I want us to share with us, each other, what did God speak to you? Now remember, this time is not just, it's for you personally, but it's also for us, Pathway of Hope, and also maybe you will hear something for the body of Christ, for this area, for this state, or the United States, or somewhere in the world. Whatever God gives you, and you then pray and do a journal or something where you're writing notes, where as you're doing this time of prayer and fasting, you're hearing from the Lord. But remember, you have to seek Him with your whole heart, and make sure that you have eyes to see and ears to hear what He is speaking to you in this time. And then if you feel there is something from the Lord, write it down. Then you will have a few days after the 29th, the 30th, 31st, and the 1st to pray about, God, what do you want me to share anything? And if so, what do you want me to share? And then only share what He is asking you to share. In obedience, continued obedience to Him. But don't be afraid to share. This is going to be a time of really sharing with one another. And I want this to be a special time. I want us to be a time of rejoicing with one another, what God has given, and rejoicing of the future that God has, for it is in His hands. And as we continue to be His completely and totally, watch what He will do in you, through you, by you, because you are in him, it'll be him in you, through you, by him, his power. But Pathway of Hope is part of the body of Christ. Yes, God gave me a word. This has been a rough week again. God gave me a word for Pathway of Hope and an acronym to go with it, a scripture. And it was corrupted on my file, my computer, and it is gone. So all that I did while I was at the house on the hill is gone. And so I was staying up late the last few nights, knowing I had a busy week, knowing I had a busy month, going again, studying and praying, doing more research. And then my computer crashed again. So obviously I have to take it in. Something's going on. Brought back most of the stuff, only to have what happened this morning. So I was like, wow, Lord, okay. This is like a rough week. But I was like, Lord, you're still on the throne. So in the midst of my heartache of losing everything, some tears shed, and even this morning, I know who's on the throne. It is our Lord God. And I know who will help me through this time. And he knew that this morning was going to be taken care of. And I thank you, each of you, for that support and that release. Because I'm in the car going, okay, Karen, Pastor Karen, you got to pull yourself together. You're the senior pastor of this church. You've got to pull yourself together. And you've got to get through this morning. And then you can grieve and cry. Because there is a time of grieving. But I thank you that I didn't have to pull myself together. And that you allowed me to cry and grieve in this time. I'm rejoicing that my dad said that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. So where he is, thank God and praise him. But there's a grieving process. My heart is aching for my oldest brother, who is the executor now, and the decisions that he has to make. For my dad's girlfriend, this is the second loss. And you know, she was married to her husband many, many years, and my dad and her were together 14. It's a difficult time for her. It's a difficult time for the other brothers. And my son calling me and crying on the way to hopefully go see him before he was picked up. This is a hard time, but we all know that God says there's a time of grieving, and yes, there's a time of being happy. And I thank you for joining together during this time of grieving with me and this mourning that I'm going through. And I thank you for releasing me to be able to do that freely this morning. But that's part of the body. That's part of the family. And I so appreciate that. And as we go forward, as part of the family, as part of the body of Christ, may we each continue to join together. And as God brings more here, may we receive them lovingly as family too, allowing them to be who God created them to be, allowing them to grow and God to refine them too, as he's continuing to do so with each of us. So we will start tomorrow 24 days of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit, our strength, with all of us surrendered to him. With eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit will be speaking to us. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Chris, can I have the prayer team come up? And we're going to go ahead and do a song while the prayer team is up. And then Evelyn's going to come and close us with a benediction.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long
Lord, we thank you that you are the God of order. We thank you that you are the God of love, the God of peace. And we thank you for your presence today amongst us. And with that, we'd like to send you out with this blessing. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Amen.